Welcome to Indiana Sports Beat Radio, brought to you by the Hard Truth Distilling Company in Brown County, Indiana.
So for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, it's time!
Three on the way. Oh, Elian! Elian! And Indiana wins the ball game!
Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni!
Float game for the win! Taylor's gone! Goodbye, touchdown, Indy!
Pretty simple. I win. Google me.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh. Now, from the Hard Truth Studios, here's Jim Coyle.
Hello, everybody. It is Thursday. Welcome aboard Indiana Sports Beat, rolling along. Glad to have you with us, no matter where or how you're listening, whether it's on one of our great radio station affiliates like 97.7 ESPN, The Ref. Always the right call in Evansville, or the voice of the region, 1230 a.m. and 104.7 FM WJOB up in the region. And on Fort Wayne Sports Station, 1380 The Fan, you've got it in the bright spot. Leave it locked there all day as you travel around. Or if you're on social media, please give us a like and a follow. Glad to have you regardless. Happy to have everybody here as we're one day closer to college football kicking off, at least here in week one. Looking forward to that as Indiana will host Old Dominion on Saturday at 2:30. Plenty of time for some tailgating. I know everybody's ready for that. And plenty to get to today. Looking forward to Coach Griff joining us, as well as Matt Taylor from the Colts a week early before the NFL season gets underway. But we'll talk some college ball as well. Dustin Schutte will join us as well. And plenty to talk about. The Kurt Cignetti enters this season as the fifth best winning percentage in FBS at just over 81%. Never had a losing season. So hopefully for him that will continue. And we'll all be happy because we'll all be watching football. Looking forward to it. Tom Brady, the Brady rules are being relaxed some. He is a broadcaster for Fox, but he's also a minority owner in the Las Vegas Raiders, I believe. He will be allowed to attend meetings with coaches this year. He was not allowed to do that last season for a conflict of interest, but he still can't go to practices and whatnot. As neither should he be. I wouldn't want him in my practice as a minority owner of another franchise. So you got that to deal with. The Colts and the rest of the NFL down to their 53-man rosters. And while Hoosier the Bison makes his return to Merchants Bank Field at Memorial Stadium this weekend, Colorado's Ralphie the Buffalo is being retired, and I love this, due to indifference to running. And it's a female. She, for the last 4 years, apparently, has not wanted to run and has not been a very willing participant in the pre-game festivities. It goes on with the running across the field which is actually a bison. There is no such thing as a buffalo, American buffalo, at least. It's a bison, misnamed. But they'll no timeline for a replacement. So they will not have a Ralphie for this weekend, their opening game. And there's no timeline for the debut of Ralphie 7, I guess that would be. The NCAA is considering a rule that would require high school and JUCO athletes to file their NIL deals, any NIL deal that from their junior year in high school with the NCAA's clearinghouse. And that is for the sole purpose that boosters of, say, a program, you can name any program, a booster of a program is not trying to get out ahead and enticing high school athletes with NIL deals to get them to come to a school. Makes sense. It really does, because at least they're trying to stay ahead of that, which you have to, because we all know that everybody's going to be trying to get around that NCAA clearinghouse, around the rev share. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, right? So we've got that. But it'll be interesting to see how that goes. We'll talk to Coach Griff. He'll join us a little later, as well as Matt Taylor, like I said, from the Colts. The U.S. Open tennis is going on. Got a lot happening right now. It's a Labor Day weekend. That's something that completely continues to slip my mind. We won't be on Monday, by the way. And Don will join us on Tuesday instead. So we'll have a packed schedule on Tuesday. But everybody gets the day off on Monday. I guess not everybody, but for most people. But, yeah, looking forward to this weekend, man. Lots of good games that we've talked about. We'll see the debut of Arch Manning. That's something I'll talk to Matt Taylor about, obviously, with the connection there with the Mannings. I'm looking forward to seeing if the hype is worth the hype. You know, the reason Texas is ranked number one is because of Arch Manning. And it's not his fault. I'm not blaming him, but he's never done anything yet. Shout out to Cheryl. Sorry about what you're dealing with your little pups. Thoughts and prayers out to you. But, yeah, and Lee Corso also making his departure from College Game Day this weekend. And that's a pretty big deal. He's been doing that for a little bit, just a little bit of time. It is the end of an era. Probably should have come a little sooner, only because you could tell his skills had diminished some, but that was mainly to do with the stroke he suffered, but like 10 years ago. And he managed to fight through that and come back. He was just such a great personality, is a great personality. But this college football weekend kicking off, week one. If I say that, just don't say it kicked off last week. That's what I'm always afraid of. If I say it's kicking off this week, well, no, last weekend was week zero, blah, blah. I don't count it. Not so fast, my friend. Boy, that's always going to be a great one. Not so fast, my friend. Classic. He did bring a lot of fun, and he became a goof. I mean, he was just great. I don't get to see a lot of, most of the time when I watch College Game Day, it's taped, recorded, whatever you want to call it, and it's the next day or that night, late Saturday night when I get to watch it, which not worth a lot of that, but Dave Portnoy, also Fox is bringing on Dave Portnoy from Barstool, of course, and I don't know where it is now, but the last he was not going to be allowed inside the horseshoe at Ohio State, which I think is totally ridiculous. Yeah, he's a Michigan guy. Well, you know what? Every one of those guys are from someplace else. So, but he's also not a media member. I don't like him. I don't like somebody like that being on there because it blurs the lines. The lines are already blurred enough for fans. When I hear somebody talking about getting something off of Facebook, I just want to say, stop, stop, stop. Don't say another word. I don't want to hear anything that you got off of Facebook. Even if some of it is actually true that came from a legit source, if they get it from Facebook, sorry, don't mean to offend anybody, but I'm like, stop, I don't want to hear it. Because there's too much crap on there. There are so many bots on there that's clearly not accurate, not real. And whenever I see that stuff, and I see people comment on it, and I'm like, going, people, this stuff is completely fake. Not saying that Portnoy's fake, but anyway, it blurs the lines. So, it's not a deal that I am a fan of. Per ESPN, 84% of college football games will be available through that new ESPN app. That's kind of hard to believe, since Fox and the Big Ten Network alone handle what they handle. CBS handles the Big Ten. NBC handles the Big Ten. Doesn't Fox have the Big 12 as well? So that's kind of hard to believe. How much impact will Arch Manning have on TV ratings? I'd say a lot. I want to watch just to see this. I want to see if it's, you know, what's all the fuss? I know his last name's Manning. I know that he's the nephew of Peyton and Eli Manning, and the son of Cooper, as Peyton would pronounce it. Cooper, not Cooper, but Cooper, who was a wide receiver, did not go on to quite the success of the other Manning brothers. Texas is going to be a big draw, period. And Texas-Ohio State would be a big draw, period. But then you add in the Manning factor. A lot going on. Derek says that Fox bringing on Portnoy sounds like game day was kicking their butts, so they brought him to counter McAfee. Well, first of all, you can't counter McAfee with Dave Portnoy. Please. Game day is the originator. Even though they're a Big Ten broadcaster, of course College Game Day is the best. They've been doing it for the longest. They originated this. They've got the goods. And it's going to be hard to overcome that. This has been going on for a long time. And then you add Pat McAfee to it. So, yeah, no, they, Pat McAfee is just a great addition to that show. I think he's funny. I don't get offended by much, and he doesn't really offend me. I think he's hilarious. He really seems to get in it for all of them, no matter who the teams are. And I will say I'm surprised that the ESPN doesn't always go to just schools that are ESPN schools, or meaning the SEC or the ACC. Like, Oklahoma, Texas, that is an SEC Big Ten matchup, but it's at the Big Ten school, and it's Ohio State, so that makes a big difference. But they're not happy about being on at, was it noon? Yeah, they hate those noon kickoffs. They hate them. They want night games. There should be more night games in the Big Ten. We talked about this last year. So, don't forget, go to the college pick'ems and make sure you're at the right one on ESPN Fantasy tab. It's just ISB, then radio. That's it. And the password is Signetti 2025. One word. Hey, Matt Taylor will join us. Coach Griff is going to be with us as well when we return. Appreciate you being with us. We're back with more Indiana Sports Beat Radio right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio, on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. Jim Coyle joined by Coach Griff. Hopefully Matt Taylor should be joining us here in a little bit. But the college football season, it's here, baby. We're 2 days away, Coach.
Yeah, and good day to everybody and anybody out there in this great world we're living in, because college football starts tonight. It's like a early Christmas present where mom and dad would let you open that one gift prior to.
That's a great analogy. Actually a lot of gifts tonight, to be honest with you.
There's a ton of games.
Yes, there are. I mean, I counted them the other day. I'm not going to count them again, but there's like 15 games tonight. There's more games tonight than there are tomorrow, which is good because that's week two of high school football in the state of Indiana. But there's several Big Ten teams playing. Wisconsin is hosting Miami of Ohio. Minnesota is hosting Buffalo. Rutgers hosts Ohio. And Nebraska, they travel to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that Indiana had wanted to stay away from. And most teams try to stay away from traveling in the non-con part of the season, especially for game one. Who the hell wants to be on the road in game one? Nobody. I get that.
Well, there's, you know, that's a big game for Matt Rhule and Nebraska and Riola. You hate to say week one, you need a must win, but for them to impress the college football playoffs, to go into a Big 12 stadium and beat a Cincinnati team that's got former Indiana quarterback Sorsby in the lineup, and he'll be starting again for them. That's kind of a must win for them. I mean, that's the thing that they're going to have to do to get themselves back in the public eye in a positive way. And for Matt Rhule, in a positive way in front of the Nebraska fans. And then you look at Luke Fickell at Wisconsin. They're playing a very, very good Miami of Ohio team, and Chuck Martin. And they've had a tradition of success. And they've gone into Big Ten stadiums before and beat the P4 teams. And, you know, Luke Fickell's on the hot seat, I guess you could say. And so there's another big game. In that regard,
because they also play Alabama.
Yeah, the scheduling gods for him did not really ingrace themselves to him when he took that job, because to have Alabama back to back years and struggling like they have, that hasn't helped the situation there in Madison. Two new coordinators there. He brings in Jeff Grimes from Kansas, who is a very well-known offensive line coach as well, and calling the plays there for them in Madison. And like I said, it's pretty much a guarantee that Wisconsin will be rocking tonight up there in the – now, it's raining up here. I don't know what it's doing there in Madison, but as of right now, it's kind of a dreary day here in the north as we head into what looks to be a fabulous football weekend.
Absolutely.
In the 70s. I mean, I don't even remember a game that I coached or played in the opening weekend that it wasn't hotter than a you-know-what, and it was just, you know, one of those things where it was just kind of a really miserable type of day to really be playing ball when the heat index is over 100 and it's 94, you know, degrees outside. So having it again in the mid-70s with blue and sunny skies, that's a great, great gift from above. For everybody to enjoy a Saturday afternoon of Indiana football and Memorial Stadium. I don't know how many tickets they have left. I don't know if they've given an amount. I know 3 weeks ago it was around 8,000, but hopefully that place will be sold out for the first game played on the Merchants Bank Field at Memorial Stadium. So a lot of fun, a lot of excitement this weekend. And for us football junkies, we get 4 days of college football. Ends on Monday.
Yeah, that is the biggest streak you'll have all year long. I mean, it just, think of the amount of games that are get to be spread out over those Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 5 days of college football.
Yeah,
and then that just pushes you back forward into the next week. Because I don't know if there are any I haven't even looked yet to see if there are any Thursday games next week, which there often are.
But yeah, well, it depends. I think that's when the NFL season kicks off the following week, right? So usually what they do there is they kind of give way to the NFL for their Thursday and Sunday games, if memory serves me correct. But the fact of the matter is you get a 5-day stretch of college football to start the year. And, you know, it kind of ends that way when you get to the championship games of all the different conferences. They kind of spread them out in a 3 to 4 day window as well. So it's upon us. It'll go fast. We'll blink. It'll be November. And hopefully we're sitting here as happy as we are right now with a potential great another year upon the front doorsteps of Indiana. So it'll be a great, great weekend. But I will say this, and I'm going to discuss this tonight on the tailgate, is that Indiana may very well be what we would refer to as an upset alert game because of what Old Dominion has done against P4 schools, especially week one in the season. And I think Coach Cignetti has addressed that perfectly in terms of what Old Dominion did last year in South Carolina, having the lead in the fourth quarter, but only to fumble it inside their own 6-yard line that basically lost in that football game. So yeah, I do think they're got to be one of those teams that will probably have that tag on them.
Yeah. And Lewis Moore also has his eligibility extended as the temporary restraining order is extended. His games 1 and 2, he'll get to play. And again, I'm going to find it very, very, very hard to believe that they are going to allow him to play in any games and then not allow him to play after that.
Yeah.
Because what are you going to say? Well, you're eligible? Oh, no, you're not eligible.
Yeah.
So you played in games? Does that pose a risk to Indiana by playing a player that could potentially be ruled ineligible?
No, because the NCAA came out, I think, was it a year or two ago, with that situation that was in Tennessee that they end up filing and getting an injunction on that aspect of things, that the NCAA would not come back on the institution and make them forfeit 2 ball games for that aspect of things. But I don't understand why the judge there again delayed whatever they delayed in this regard. Only reason I can think of is that he's trying to say to the NCAA, here's what you do. You grant a blanket waiver. You smile, you nod your head, and you turn and walk away. And then we figure out what we do from this point forward. Because, like you said, it's like opening Pandora's box. I mean, once that's open, closing it becomes very, very difficult, as we found out here over the last couple of years. So I'm glad that Lewis Moore has that eligibility. I think that's an additional shot in the arm for Indiana's defense and team.
And his bank account.
Well, that too, but what he brings to the table from a kid that's played 3 years, has been a top player at his first couple seasons at Indiana, and he's an experienced safety that, you know, in that back half is a very important part of Coach Haynes' defense in terms of running the show back there.
And experience. I mean, again, Indiana is solid on defense, but they lost a lot off of the defensive line. So anywhere else you can be even bolder,
right,
is always going to help. Any place you can have, any position you can have more experience that gives you more depth, it's just a bonus because you're going to be needed throughout the season. Yeah, it's odd how this thing is playing out, but a Dallas County judge extended that temporary restraining order yesterday, giving more the 2 additional games, and he demanded that the NCAA hand over contracts signed in Texas over the past 18 months, which is part of the discovery process by Moore's attorneys, that they hope will undermine the NCAA's claim that the Dallas court has no jurisdiction A follow-up hearing is set for September 10th at 9 a.m., and that is 3 days prior to the Indiana State game, which game three in week three for Indiana. His lawsuit argues the NCAA's rejection not only sidesteps its own December 2024 blanket waiver, which granted the extra year to athletes who competed at non-NCAA schools, but also jeopardizes a $400,000 name, image, likeness deal. Court filings describe the opportunity as once in a lifetime, both financially and as a chance to showcase his game at a Power Four program. Definitely a chance of a lifetime, but yeah. I just don't. I'm not even going to go into the talk about the NCAA and.
Yeah, that's another Pandora's box.
it's just like crawling down a rabbit hole that you can't get out. But
well, that's where the president's got to get a hold of things, because they're ultimately responsible. The NCAA is basically a legislative body at the behest of the university presidents throughout the country. That's what they ultimately did many, many years ago, was turn that over to a governing body rather than being individually, you know, policed for different rules and academics and things like that. So this is where the presidents have to step in to the equation at some point and give a firm direction of what they're going to do when it comes to this situation in their football programs or athletic departments, because we've talked about this too. I mean, our athletic department's going to operate outside of the scope of what the university is and such, forming LLCs, because it kind of helps divide the line of quote unquote the athletes being labeled as employees, especially if there's collective bargaining in the picture. So yeah, this is where the presidents have to step front and center and come up with a plan of what needs to happen here within the next, you know, 2 to 3 years when it comes to the NCAA and all the things that we've talked about since day one of college athletes being paid, you know, and that, and even much before that.
And also, I talked earlier about the NCAA is considering a rule that will require high school athletes and JUCOs, whatever. Mm-hmm. Going back to their junior year in high school. And Jason made a great comment a minute ago when we were talking about Lewis Moore. This will probably get Byron Baldwin more playing time if that comes to fruition or not with Lewis Moore. But considering a rule that would require them to disclose any NIL deal over $600 like everyone else to the clearinghouse, in order to stay ahead of school boosters who are recruiting said athletes, trying to get ahead of the game and start a little something with them.
Well, yeah, they're going to have to, especially in the states that allow student athletes in the high school ranks to be able to accept NIL money. Especially from not only those institutions that are involved with them, but also local establishments within a certain, you know, for the kids' high school. Now, Indiana, they're not allowed to because of their amateur rules. Now, whether that changes, which I think will probably be challenged, especially here within the next year, because you're going to have some kids that once they sign on the dotted line, they will be eligible to receive even the rev share aspect of the institution's cut from the NCAA as well. So it, like I said, it's a mountain, but we'll put that in the background for now.
No mountain high enough.
We got Lewis in the lineup. We've got a full weekend of college football games and a lot of speculation and answers will be delivered this weekend about who is and who isn't amongst the top 25 teams ranked once that I call it the first true ranking coaches poll AP poll comes out next week at some point. I don't care about preseason because that is nothing but guessing. We'll find out more about that come next week. It's no different than what Iowa State did to Kansas State. I mean, here's Kansas State was supposed to be this powerhouse in the Big 12 and potentially a candidate for the Big 12 championship and NCAA play, or the playoffs, and all of a sudden they go to Ireland and Iowa State beats them. You know, and that's, you know, they were higher ranked than Iowa State was, and next thing you know, they're coming home with their heads between their tails because they got beat.
We'll see. Now, that presents – the Iowa State won that game, though, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, I mean, Kansas State was a favor, one of the favorites.
Well, they lost a running back. Didn't they lose their star running back?
Yeah, well, they lost Edwards on that first punt or kickoff aspect of things, but Iowa State really dominated them throughout the entire game. And Kansas State has the quarterback that was supposedly a Heisman Trophy candidate. He actually played pretty well that game, but his brother and father got in a fight in the streets of Ireland after the game. I don't know if you saw that video clip of.
I did not.
Oh my gosh. I couldn't believe it. There was, I mean, they were flat out throwing them.
Was Conor McGregor around?
That's right. I was wondering if he was going to come up with his nice little walk, but, yeah, that was the craziest thing I've seen, especially, you know, pops in the sun throwing fists in then Ireland. I don't know who was what they were mad at, whether it was the, you know, speculation.
The old Irish haymaker.
They should have just walked into a pub and got a Guinness and called it even.
Exactly. Hey, we've got to take a break. It's Thursday of game week one. Tons of games on tonight. Matt Taylor will join us later on in the program. Dustin Schutte will jump on as well. Plenty to talk about. When we come back, we'll talk about what the coaches had to say about this matchup between Indiana and Old Dominion. On the other side, right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio, on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. Game week one of the college football season coming up, and plenty of games tonight to peruse through. Let's see. I'm looking through. Are there any ranked? Number 25, Boise State, on the road at South Florida. Is that Scott Frost or is he Central Florida? He's Central Florida, isn't he? I believe that, yeah, he's at Central Florida. Somehow you're muted there. You have to unmute yourself.
There we go. Yeah, yeah. He's at Central Florida there with Taven Jackson, who lost another quarterback competition. He will be their backup.
Yeah. And he's, what is he now, a junior?
No, I think this is his last year.
Wow.
Yeah, I think he was hoping to go somewhere and be the starter for aspirations for a life after. Potentially in the NFL, but unfortunately, it's not going to happen.
No, it is not. Daniel asking, hey, guys, what do you think is going to happen with the Ohio State and Texas game? Great question. Because I don't know. I talked about this earlier. I'm looking forward to seeing Arch Manning play to see, about the hype. Is this real? What's
right?
Because the whole reason Texas is number one is because of Arch Manning and all that comes with the talk that's been surrounding them now. And then Ohio State, of course, the reigning national champion, but they didn't look national champion-esque at the end of the season last year, which is still so ironic. In basketball, that happens. You lose a game right before the tournament and go out and win a national title. It's not that big of a deal. In football, doesn't happen a lot, especially when you lose at home to your arch rival who wasn't even ranked.
Yeah, crazy. I mean, yeah, it's, there's, yeah, like you said, there's a ton of hype around Arch Manning. He did play some last year, played decently in those games and for Sark. And Sark's a really good offensive mind. He's been a very good quarterback coach throughout his career. So there's no question that Arch Manning will be fully prepared and ready to go, and should be able to perform within the shoe, having been throughout many different stadiums throughout the country already. So that's not a factor. So I think if there's one advantage right now, I would give it to Texas in the quarterback aspect because of Arch Manning's, you know, his overall experience right now is that is much better than the Ohio State kid that's going to play his first game on Saturday. So it'll be an interesting game to see how Ryan Day and Hartline approach it, because now Hartline is the offensive coordinator. They've moved him to the box to call the plays. So it'll be a interesting dynamic on how that works between him and Ryan Day, but also how do they ease this young quarterback into big time college football come Saturday. And they've got some great people and players around him. You know, you got a big old tall drink of water on the outside that's probably is the best wide receiver in the country in Smith, former teammate of D'Angelo out there, who is a phenomenal kid. And they're going to have adequate enough running backs that they will not have to place a lot on the kid's shoulders Saturday. This is where their defense is going to have to step up, even though they got a new DC, and play a really good game and limit Texas's opportunities. And offensively, they've got to be smart in how they approach this new game, this first game for this kid.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, Texas is basically the favorite, in my opinion, since Ohio State is only getting a point and a half.
I think that's even gone down.
Has it?
Yeah, because I think it ended up at two. It started at two, if I'm not mistaken.
So, that to me, in my mind, that makes them the favorite there of being on the road. But it's going to be interesting. In the shoe, you know, they're going to be jacked.
Oh,
unfortunately, they're having what they hate, a noon game. Boy, do they hate those noon games at Ohio State. And I get it. The Big Ten has got to start having night games. But they don't do that. I think you missed such a great opportunity of spreading that. I'm surprised they don't spread it out more across the day.
I'm surprised if you're going to have a marquee matchup game in today's college football, it's not on a Saturday night.
This should be at 8 o'clock, man. Yeah. Having that game at noon is a crime. It's a crime. Number one versus number three, the reigning national champion, and you're going to put that game on at noon.
That's 11 for Texas.
Yeah, and I know, I get that the network's trying, well, we'll force people to watch early. No, you won't.
Yeah.
Because so many people won't be able to because
they don't care.
Another game. Well, no, they'll be in another game tailgating. And it's just a lost opportunity to me.
No question. And I don't know if there's a contractual thing there with college football and all the different contracts and who gets what time slots and things like that. So, like, is ESPN preventing the big game in the Big Ten from being up against an SEC game that night, or whoever they're broadcasting as their marquee game? I don't know the particulars there. I'm sure there is something into that effect. I'm guessing, of course, but it's interesting because, like, NBC plays, you know, has a night game in the Big Ten. You know, that's that, what is it, Big Time Saturday Night or something to that effect for NBC. So I just don't agree that those games that are going to be in the marquee spotlight for the Big Ten may best be in the evening hours to compete against the likes of the SEC, you know, so that there's a, you know, a little competition there for the, you know, the tuner throughout the country.
Yeah, I would certainly like to see that. I think it would be better for the Big Ten. I think it would be better for whatever programs are able to play in those games. And especially now having the multiple West Coast teams, you add that factor in, in addition to Nebraska. What are those? Is that a 1 or 2 hour difference? I don't remember which
time. Nebraska? I think they're in the central time zone, so that'd only be an hour difference for them as well.
So, but, man, I would certainly like to see it, but we'll see how, if that ever changes or not, but, there are worse problems to deal with.
Yeah.
That's not one of them.
I think they've made their point known throughout the last couple seasons, especially from their alumni and fan base, that they'd rather not be the marquee game. And if that meant they could play it on Saturday evening, but that's not going to happen if you're going to be the consensus number one or two team in the country. Kicking off Saturday is going to be a noon game. And that goes back to the old days. I mean, that's kind of the philosophy.
Looking at Saturday's schedule, I'm trying to look at the 8 o'clock games. Portland State at BYU, Rice at Louisiana, Eastern Michigan at Texas State, Lamar at North Texas, Abilene Christian at Tulsa, East Texas A&M at number 16 SMU. That's a 9 o'clock game. Mm-hmm. So you're already outside of the deal. Not a single big time game in that 8 o'clock time slot. Not one. Yeah. I don't like that. Now, what I do like, it's almost a little too late. Utah at UCLA is an 11 o'clock kickoff, baby. 11 o'clock.
So that's 8 o'clock. That's an 8 o'clock kick there in California. But see, to me, why? Why wouldn't they put that game on at?
Because you've spread it out all over the day. That gives them, that game will go until nearly 3 o'clock in the morning. So gives them, however many, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 hours of football games across the day. They're maximizing it. And I get that. I don't mind the late night Saturday games because that gives you something you can watch.
But, no, I agree, but there's a common idea that if you're going to expose the West Coast teams to more voters per se, you've got to put them in a spotlight where,
well, but
the country can watch them.
UCLA is not one that they're concerned about right now. They're not.
Well, I get that. And they do this with Oregon sometimes. Unfortunately for Oregon, it's usually when they're on the road back in the Midwest and they're playing a noon kick and it's only 9 o'clock in Eugene. So yeah, some of that stuff has happened too in the TV genre of this crazy world we live in with sports and stuff. But look, it's great. We're talking about it, but the talking season's over. It's time to prove it between the white lines, and we'll let the games be the deciding factor on who's going to be a team that's going to be a real contender and who may be pretenders.
The talking season's over, baby. Yeah, I like that. What was I going to talk about? Daggone it. I had something that
players.
UCLA.
Yeah.
UCLA, as I look at Indiana's schedule, I'm thinking, all right, what is a game that could be a gotcha game, trap game? Mm-hmm. And for me, it's UCLA. I think that they're going to be much better this year than they were a year ago, which, you know, there's only room to go up. But they got better throughout the season. Mm-hmm. They have a quarterback that is highly touted. They have Tino Sunseri, an offensive coordinator now. That's a game. That's just one of those games I'm like, look out. It's hard to call it a trap game since it's at home, I guess. But that one could be one to watch out for. And another reason is because they have Tino Sunseri. He has not only an understanding of Kurt Cignetti, Kurt Cignetti's offense, he was in it for quite some time. That's kind of an advantage. What adjustments will Indiana have to make?
Well, I mean, they're always going to have their little tinkering here and there, but knowing Cignetti, I doubt if he changes much, because he knows that trying to do too much like they did against Ohio State took away from what they like to be, and that's fast, physical, and relentless. So that will be a forethought process for him in terms of offensively and defensively, because like you said, the initial reaction when you've got somebody on the other sideline that you have a you know, pretty tight relationship with is to make changes because you're fearful of maybe what they know or don't know. And what you end up doing there is you end up putting yourself in a bigger bind, because you're trying to forecast what somebody may or may not do in a game that the only fear you have is them knowing you too well. And I've known previous coaching aspects that has happened in staffs that I've been on. And the best answer to that is you go out and just execute what you do the best and not worry about what that individual may or may not know about you because of their relationship. The bottom line is still, you got to execute and you've got to play mistake free. And if you do that irregardless, then you're going to put yourself in a position to win. And my guess is that will be Cignetti's mindset going into that. But I agree with you as far as that game and UCLA, based upon how they finished last year, the tweaks that they made on that staff. They could be, I always say this, who's the next Indiana in the Big Ten? They very well could be. They could flip the switch and, get that nice run of a year. I also think Michigan State's in that prime example as well, because nobody's talking about them. And USC. They also, huh?
USC is well, yeah, jumps up yeah. in the thoughts there for me.
Well, right. And I look at that as, with the Michigan States and the UCLAs, those are those second tier teams that, behind the upper echelon of the Big Ten that maybe, maybe doesn't get the notoriety and the spotlight of the media, but can also put strings of wins together because they've got really good staff. And they also got a quarterback that can be a viable threat. And when you have those equations in your factor, Michigan State went out and recruited too. They went out and found out what they were weak at and went out and tried to address it. And they, they brought in some receivers for them that are better than what they had in the barn last year. And so those are the type of teams that always give you pause, because you understand that they're better than maybe what their record represented a year ago and whoever they brought in, and especially at the Krueger man. And that's always the thing that starts first is, who do you have at quarterback and how good is he?
Absolutely. Separate subject, played some golf yesterday with Kit Klingelhofer, former SID at IU, Brent Hutton, and Steve, and had the round of my life. It was crazy. The first front nine was typical me, and then something happened on the way to the Coliseum. A switch got flipped.
Talk to the Dalai Lama.
The Dalai Lama whispered in my ear, gunga galunga. Yeah. Gunga galunga, and it was on. Mercy.
On your deathbed, you will rise.
Have total consciousness, and you will shoot a 38 on the back nine.
That's the great thing about that's the best thing about golf. That you're always going to have those one or two rounds where you just play out of your mind, and it just makes you want to come back for more, thinking that you're going to be that consistent player, and you come out the next round and you shoot 89, and
you're more furious because you're like, I was doing so well. What happened?
My best round of my life was a 74 where I shot one under on the backside.
Wow.
That was my best back in the day when I could swing a club and my back wasn't an issue, when I was about 20.
We've got to take a break. Coach Griff is with us. Matt Taylor will join us from the coach a little later on. We've got more to talk about when we return. Indiana Sports Beat Radio with Jim Coyle back right after these messages. Welcome back to Indiana Sports Beat Radio on this Thursday. It is game week, people. Looking forward to The college football season really getting underway this evening. First game is actually this afternoon, Coach. 5:30 p.m.
Awesome.
Boise State travels all the way down to South Florida. That is a trip, my friend.
Yeah, that's a little bit of the cross-country journey, but interesting 5:30 start. That's kind of an interesting, I mean, the traffic in...
They are milking it.
The traffic in Tampa...
It starts at 5:30 today, and it goes until 10 o'clock is the last kickoff tonight.
Yeah. I was going to say, the traffic in Tampa will be fierce. People trying to get to the game at 5:30 at their height of rush hour.
Getting their cigars, going through Ybor City.
Hey, before I get, I need to make a shout out to my father-in-law in North Carolina who listens religiously to the Jim Coyle radio show here, Indiana Sports Beat Radio. So to my father-in-law, Tony.
Where in North Carolina?
Raleigh-Durham, right there North Carolina State, and not too far away from Chapel Hill. But wanted to give him a shout out. Belated birthday for him. Yeah, belated birthday for him. So
birthday.
Hello, Tony. He'll write me a text here in a little bit saying I heard you today.
Well, speaking of Chapel Bill, heard that yesterday. They've gone to calling it Chapel Bill. The Tar Heels open up at home on Monday night. The only game on Monday, an 8 o'clock game, hosting TCU, the Horned Frogs. And TCU is a 3.5-point favorite. Not only that, that's our friend Josh Hoover, starting quarterback, the former Indiana commit.
That's right.
I stay in touch with. I texted him not a week or so ago, just wishing him luck. But he was their starter last year, and is their starter again this year.
Yeah, so last year.
Josh and TCU. I'm not going to lie. I hope North Carolina gets the ever-loving crap kicked out of them. I was so done with that stuff way a long time ago. And yeah, I thought it was hilarious how much his girlfriend was just interjecting herself into everything. Boy, it's gone
quiet.
Radio silence. She has been effectively tutored for the time being. Who knows what's going on? Although they do have, she ruined the Hard Knocks deal that they were going to do, but they're going to do a
Hulu
season on Hulu. So
she rescued it.
Yeah, I'm sure she did.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is you know, we talked about this a week ago, the AD there at North Carolina, Mr. Bubba Cunningham.
Mr. Let me line my pockets by putting my school into the NCAA tournament, even though they don't deserve it. Bubba Cunningham.
Let me fire the coaching staff at Ball State as my first year as an AD. Yeah, that's the Bubba.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Your old friend.
Yep, he's also there. As you said, as the head of the committee of the NCAA basketball tournament, which was kind of an interesting dynamic a year ago, but you're correct. I mean, that was such a debacle there at North Carolina. There was so many, and I do believe in the athletic administration there did not want that hire to be made. And quite frankly, it was not made by them. It was made by one of their boosters who sits on their athletic board that kind of went a little bit of a runaround and said, this is who you're going to hire.
Because not quite the same, but it sounds similar, eerily similar to what happened with Indiana basketball. Not recently, but well, I mean, yeah, relatively it was, recently. But
it was attributed to something to that effect, that it was taken out of the hands of the president and the AD, and they were told, this is what you're going to do because we have the money and we control the purse, because there wasn't much favor for him to come to Chapel Hill because of just like you just.
And that was before they knew the circus sideshow that was coming with him, I assure you. And I know the answer to this, but I still shake my head. How could Bill Belichick, the Bill Belichick that we all knew and loved, just kidding, the Mr. Gruff, I'm in charge, this, that, and the other thing, just be led around by his nose, basically. Mm-hmm. And I know the answer. I'm not going to say it, but I think everybody can figure out the answer. If you've seen the puzzle pieces, you have the answer. But even then, there has to be a line. You've got to have some pride, some self-respect. And he showed none of that. In that CBS interview, he looked like a deer in the headlights. I'm not involved.
I want to claim elderly abuse because I think she's an abuser. I can't imagine his son and just the environment that is all within there. Because
you know, I thought of this too. You know how wealthy he's got to be.
Oh, geez.
She's going to end up with half of that.
Well, I'm sure there's the innuendo is that's why she is overly involved with everything he does and how he does it.
Doesn't every 74-year-old guy have a 20-something-year-old girlfriend?
I don't think so. Well, I take that back. I'm sure there are some, but they have a very big and deep pockets that can essentially attract that type of individual because of the deep pockets that they have. So, but yeah, you're correct. That was a complete, you know what show for the time it started there. And it wasn't a very good look on him, as you said, taking a job at the collegiate level, having come from the NFL where he was bypassed for numerous jobs. And some believe the reasoning was because of that scenario with him and this girl. And somebody in Chapel Hill just said, we're going to hire Belichick because he's Bill Belichick. And we'll see how that goes. I mean,
I don't think anybody cares about Bill Belichick, but it certainly makes for a
great
conversation.
Right. And I'm sure that game is going to be on the mothership come Monday night. And we'll probably have Herb Street and Fowler there to broadcast it. And it may not be Fowler because I don't know if he's doing the tennis stuff. It may be.
Well, he'll be there for the Saturday night game.
I'm assuming that that's the case. But
what is the Saturday night game, by the way? I have to pull that up.
I have not seen. Yeah,
well,
I can pull
it up real quick, right. Lee. 8 o'clock. Does it start at 7:30 or 8 for that?
Usually it's 7:30, depending on if it's an East Coast venture. Sometimes when they're on the West Coast, they'll start it at 9.
Looking at the 8 o'clock games, I don't know. I'm not going to screw. I don't care about
it. Yeah, it doesn't really matter in that regard. But yeah, it's going to, again, a great spotlight for college football to kick off of a big weekend to get everybody's mind retooled and ready for the collegiate athletic season as we get going from now until the end of next spring with all the different seasons that we have in between. And for everybody and anybody, that's pretty much how we live our life is through the college seasons.
Certainly a fact. There are a few really good games this weekend. We've talked about Ohio State, not in-depthly with Texas, but Notre Dame and Miami.
That's going to be a great one.
That's a fantastic game. You've got Carson Beck, who is now at Miami. They replaced Cam Ward in what was a very high-octane offense last year. It was Indiana and Miami just putting up points and yards and scores. Can they be that productive under Carson Beck? He's not quite that dynamic. You know, he came from Georgia where it's not that offense, it's a very different style.
Yeah. Well, you know, he has thrown for over 3,000 yards. Now he's got hurt. You know, his game against Georgia Tech a year ago was phenomenal because he essentially brought them back in that game to get it to overtime and then, you know, win it to keep their, you know, national title hopes alive. It's interesting because Miami and Mario wanted Fernando. The Cuban roots, the everything they want.
Mendoza.
They made a very big pitch for him. And I'm probably guaranteeing it was probably for more money than what maybe Indiana could have afforded at that time. But that Beck was more of a fallback position in some respects. You know, he has that basketball, the twins that play basketball there or did play basketball there. He's involved extensively with one of them and has been for a few years. So that was the attraction of Miami. And yeah, Fernando was actively involved in both of those schools, Miami and Georgia, as a wanted gunslinger there in the South. And the Yankees in the North won again.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what Colorado does. Is starting for them? What was the kid's name that Indiana was recruiting and they lost out on? I don't think he's going to start.
What was his last name? Lewis?
Oh, man, I'm drawing a blank.
Me too. It's that age thing that's catching me this morning. He was high in the, I mean, it was a pretty good and tight race. Now, that was of a week or two ago. And I did see
Caden Salter is going to start.
Yeah.
For
he kind of wanted out there at the end. And that will be
transferred from Liberty, by the way.
Yeah, he's a really good quarterback. He's really good. And that will be
Liberty has become a solid program.
Has been.
And I say that with a surprise because this is Jerry Falwell. This is you of Jerry Falwell originally. Juju Tom. There we go. Juju Lewis, right?
Yeah. Thanks, there.
Thanks, Jason.
But you're right. I mean, Liberty has become a very notable group of five school there in Virginia. I actually was on their campus about a year ago, and it is a beautiful, beautiful campus setting in the hills or, you know, mountainous areas there for whatever Virginia has there, kind of in the Blue Ridge Mountain area. And, but a very beautiful, beautiful campus, a great stadium setting where they've got it placed. But they have become a group of five school that has become a very, very well, worthy. Football school, and the quarterback that is going to be starting there, like you said, at Colorado, he's a really good quarterback. He has a lot of tools in the toolbox.
3 years,
yeah.
Now he's only thrown for 5,900 yards, which I'm not slighting that. It's just that you look at the quarterback that Iowa picked up from South Dakota State. He's thrown for 10,000 yards in the last 2 years.
Right.
So, but
this kid's more of a dual threat.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think that could be a successful run just because he's kind of like a Curtis Rourke, the experience. 3 years as a starter, that is just invaluable experience.
Mm-hmm.
So what's Deion going to do this year? How's Colorado going to be? They're in a conference that has several ranked teams, and they're not one of them.
Yeah, and of course the health issues that Deion went through, which I still
deals with.
Well, yeah, but he had cancer that essentially they removed, you know, with some new technique, robotic technique that ultimately is able to get all the margins and stuff because of, I do believe it was, I want to say pancreatic, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, he's coming off of that. and a clean bell of health into a season without either one of his boys. So that's a new dynamic, new quarterback. And, you know, we'll see how well they do again this year and whether or not it leads to the success that they've had. So, and I saw one of the other games that was listed there, LSU and Clemson. I forgot about that one. That will be a dandy of a game this weekend.
Before we go to break, let's see. This is some goofy news. According to the West Virginia Metro News, former NFL long snapper and Winfield High School assistant football coach down there, Chris Massey, has been charged with multiple misdemeanors following an altercation with one of his son's middle school coaches. Yes! Per the report, Massey approached Winfield Middle School assistant coach Seth Lewis, who is also a sheriff's deputy, in the school's parking lot last Thursday after Massey witnessed his son crying during a football practice. Massey, who was inducted into the Marshall Sports Hall of Fame in 2015, allegedly became disruptive and was asked to leave school property, but refused. Lewis, who was off duty at the time, went to his vehicle to retrieve handcuffs and call for backup. Jeez. By the time other Putnam County deputies arrived on the scene, Massey was irate and allegedly told Lewis, "I'm not leaving." He allegedly got in Lewis's face and smacked the officer's handcuffs to the ground. Lewis responded by using pepper spray on Massey. Don't get in a fight with this cop. Massey was eventually taken into custody and charged with four misdemeanors, which included obstructing an officer, battery, trespassing, and disorderly conduct. He was a four-year starter at Marshall and selected by the St. Louis Rams in the seventh round of the 2002 NFL draft. The long snapper appeared in 141 games during his career. Yada, yada. So, yeah, that's never going to go well. Hey, no. You're fighting with a middle school coach. And you're fighting with a deputy. Not smart either way. Hey, we've got to take a break. Matt Taylor will join us on the other side. Back with more Indiana Sports Beat Radio right after these messages from your favorite sponsors and mine. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio, on this Thursday. Joined now by the great Matt Taylor, the voice of the Colts. Matthew, how are you, sir?
Great to be with you guys. How are you guys?
I am wonderful. Great to have you. Coach Griff with us as well. Looking forward to a college football season kicking off this weekend. I don't count week zero. And then, of course, the NFL follows that next week as we're in week two of high school. It's football, 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 baby.
No doubt about it, man. What did Stu say in The Hangover? We are back. We are so back, right? I mean, it feels like it's the longest off season of all the sports, but once it's back, it floods our attention. So, yeah, it's great. You're going to have like our first full week in here, Friday with the high schools, Saturday of college football, Labor Day, and then NFL gets into full swing and people are doing their fantasy football drafts this weekend. It's really exciting times.
Yeah, I don't do the fantasy football just because I'm not smart enough, and so I'm smart enough to not do it.
There you go.
If I was good enough to be a GM, I'd be a GM. I'm not. So there's that. Do you do fantasy football, Griff?
I do not do fantasy football. I'm not smart enough to make all the necessary moves that would require.
It's a lot of time. It's a lot of time.
Yeah. It's a very brainiac-minded person game, I would say. The guy that can understand the different ins and outs of it.
Not counting bye weeks. This is your last free weekend, Matt. So what do you do on your last free weekend, man, before it gets off for the next 4 months?
Everything else, you know, a dad. We're going to, we've got CYO kickball in full swing. We're doing flag football. We're doing volleyball. I'm going to practices. I'm shuttling kids to games. I'm picking up dinners. I'm picking up around the house. I'm doing yard work. I'm doing life before life basically gets dedicated to all things football. And I say this all the time, and I do want to take a tangent because I do feel it necessary every chance that I get. So I'm sorry that I'm hijacking the show a little bit, but
no,
big shout out to my wife because it is a lifestyle job. There's no question about that. And without her support and her backing, and she is at least a parent and a half for half of the year while I do this football stuff. So without her, I couldn't do it. And I think any coach or any, teacher or administrator can very much understand what I'm saying right now, because your job definitely kind of becomes your, and I don't know, for lack of a better term, it becomes like who you are for the next, couple of months. So, I try to be present as best I can, man. I really battled that the last couple of years. I think I'm doing a better job with it, just kind of being where my feet are. But it's hard, right? Because your brain's always turning. You're thinking about all the things that you have to do and the places you have to be and responsibilities at work that you have. It's tough. So without her help and without her support and complete backing, I wouldn't be voice of the Colts.
I think we would all be lacking if that weren't the case. You do a tremendous job, one of the best to do it. And that's just something it seems to have just fell right into. You guys were made to be together. A lot of changes for the Colts with the ownership, of course, with the passing of Jim Irsay, unfortunately. The daughters now are running the show. And you've got a starting quarterback named in Daniel Jones as they will open the season against the Dolphins in week one on September the 7th on Sunday. So a lot of exciting things to look around for Colts fans this year.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, you've got another quarterback change. I think I had this written down the other day. I can't find it right now. But at any rate, you're going to have Daniel Jones. I think he's going to be the 11th different quarterback the Colts will have started since the 2019 season. That was the year Andrew Luck retired a couple of days or a week and a half before the start of the regular season. And so, certainly that's a huge storyline and has garnered national attention. But on top of that, you just have big picture going into the season, just a lot of urgency. And I know you and I have talked about this before in the past, and this is a hill that I'm going to die on. It's not about one guy. It's not about just about the quarterback. It's a complete team game, as we all know. But we also understand, too, the importance of quarterback and how it's the most important position in sports. And, if the Colts had had just a little bit more consistency there at that position last year, I'm not absolving the defense either, right? It was a very much rocky defensive performance throughout the course of last year. But even with that, had they just gotten a little bit more consistency from that quarterback position on offense, that was probably a playoff team. You know what I mean? Like, it just was. That's a hill that I'm going to die on. They lost a lot of close games, 5 games decided by 1 score. They lost 2 games to the Texans by a combined 5 points. So that's sort of the genesis behind this whole quarterback competition between Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones. But within that, there's a lot of urgency around the team, right? They've missed the playoffs 4 years in a row. They haven't won a week one game since 2013. They haven't won an AFC South since 2014. And then you look around the market too, and these are just external factors. They don't really kind of go into the psyche of the Colts' minds, but this is just me talking about what's going on here in Indianapolis. It's a great place to be right now, right? There's a ton of things to do in this city, both sports-wise and culturally, and the concert scene is great. There's just a lot of competing entertainment dollars, for people to choose on how to spend their money. The Indianapolis Indians are rolling. The Pacers just made it to Game 7 of the East or the NBA Finals. The WNBA is incredibly popular now, and Caitlin Clark is doing her thing, and just how much she's changing the sports scene here in Indianapolis. So I say all that to say the Colts know that they have to compete, and they have to kind of do their part to be on the forefront of people's minds here from a sports standpoint. So there's just a lot of urgency going into the season. They haven't made the playoffs in 4 years, and they know they've been close. In 3 of those years, they've won at least 8 games. So that's the genesis of this quarterback battle, trying to get just a little bit more consistency at that from that position to go along with the rest of the roster that in a lot of cases is in its prime, it's ready to go, and it's ready to win and win now.
Yeah, I'm looking at the schedule. 7 out of their first 8, is that right? 2, 4, 6, 7. Well, 6 out of their first 7 games are against non-divisional opponents. That is that the norm? Do they normally? I thought last year was they kind of got into division play a little sooner. Not that it matters. I just sure. It's just something that I happened to notice.
Well, I think that it does matter, actually. I mean, yeah, to your point, the Colts have the last couple of years, and every team in the NFL has their, you know, schedule inequities they can point to. You know, there's a lot of things that go into it, and so it's never going to be perfect. But that's been one of the things that the Colts have had to deal with in the last couple of years is playing a front-loaded AFC South schedule. And to your point, right, they all count. They all, you know, it's 1 of 17, and you know who you're going to play before the schedule is even unfurled, because you know who you're going to play and where. You just don't know the win part of it. But if you ask me, I very much like the backloading of the AFC South towards the end of the season. Those games are just going to feel like, playoff games. They're going to have a lot of magnitude.
Yeah.
So I like them towards the end of the season. And, you know, there's always that cliche that you want to be playing your best football towards the end of the season anyways. Well, you might as well be doing that in really big, important games in terms of mathematics. But the Colts have had the last couple of years, they've had at least one of their divisional series, because you play every team in the division twice, right? One of their divisional series has been wrapped up in each of the previous 3 seasons by Halloween. And, a couple of times that was the Houston Texans. And that's a hard thing to deal with, right? When you've got
hard to recover from.
Yeah, there's just not a whole lot of room for error towards the end of the season when you don't have those head-to-head opportunities in the months of, you know, late November and December. So I very much like the Colts schedule as it relates to the division. Bigger picture than that, you know, you've got 4 of your first 6 at home, and they're very, very, I wouldn't say like they're very winnable games on paper, in my opinion. And you look at the first 2 games of the season, just on a micro level, right? You start the season against Miami and Denver. I know those are weeks 1 and weeks 2, and you say to yourself, well, how can they be must-win games, and how, you know, why are they so important? Well, the reason why they're so important is you get them at home. Yes, but also, too, and bigger than that, these are teams, in my opinion, that are going to be jockeying for position all year long for a wild card spot, because you look at the divisions that they're coming from, right? You're playing the Dolphins, and then they're in the AFC East, and they could be blocked by the Bills, who have won that division 5 years in a row. And then you got the Broncos in week 2. They could be jockeying for a position in the AFC West, and they've got the Chiefs in that division, and they've won that conference or that division 9 years in a row with Patrick Mahomes and company. So these are enormous games right out of the gate as it relates to wild card and tiebreaker head-to-head positioning that I think are going to have a lot of consequences and could hold a lot of weight later in the season when you start examining, you know, playoff seeding and tiebreaker scenarios that, like we always do, right, in weeks 15, 16, 17, and 18.
Hey, Matt, Coach Griff here. Been a while. Back to the days at Franklin and Manchester battling there in the great Grizz Stadium.
I like it, Coach. Yeah.
The quarterback situation, I know that's got a lot of play here of late, but talk about, you know, Riley Leonard too, and stepping in too, because I thought he played very well in the preseason games that he was, a lot at the time in, because I thought he was productive in those games. Just talk about his, entrance into the NFL and what you thought of his play there in Indianapolis.
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, I first sat down and met and talked with Riley Leonard back during the rookie minicamp, and I had about a 15-minute sit-down with him. And you know how some guys are just wired to lead and to play quarterback? That's Riley Leonard. Like, he was put on this earth to play quarterback. He's very smart, very cerebral.
and just a natural leader. You want one of those guys that just, you know, for lack of a better term, just flat out gets it and understands that, you know, right or wrong, this is the way it is when you play quarterback in the NFL. You have to do extra things. You have to take on more responsibility, and more things are just asked of you at that position. That's just the reality of the deal. And he, you know, as a 23, 24 year old, he flat out understands that. And so he has taken it very seriously, and he has gotten better in all the different stages that I've seen him. He's gotten better from rookie minicamp to the OTAs, got better from OTAs to the minicamp with the veterans. I got better every single day in training camp. And then it kind of all came to a head when he was playing against, you know, the Bengals the other day. He went 15 for 20 in the first half for almost 200 yards and dropped one right in the bucket on a 59-yard pass at the end of the half to Laquon Treadwell that made all the highlights on social media. And so he's done a really nice job of acclimating quickly to the NFL. And he's going to be the third quarterback on this team. He's on the active roster, and so he's to be congratulated for that. And, you know, long-term, he looks like a guy that I think could, you know, have a future in the NFL. I think time will tell on that. I think the only thing that is a little bit of a blemish on Riley Leonard that you could have said about the previous developmental quarterback, if you want to call him that, for the Colts, and that was Sam Ehlinger, is that he has all of the intangibles. He understands the playbook. He's got the football IQ. Between the ears, that's not the problem. He needs to develop his arm strength. Mm-hmm. And Sam, to his credit, did that, you know, from all the way from year one to year four with the Colts. And so that would be, to me, the only thing that would hold Riley Leonard back, you know, long term, is that, you know, he knows where to go with the football. He can diagnose a defense very well already. It's the physical tools. You know, he relied a lot on that at Notre Dame. And, you know, they didn't pass for a ton of yards with the Irish last year and route to the national championship game against Ohio State. But that's not to say that he won't continue. I mean, I know he will be maniacal about that in the offseason when he has a chance to focus just on that. But in the meantime, he will continue to, you know, take all the mental reps, and he will run the scout team or the look team, and you know, do a hell of a job with the Colts. And I know, you know, all the reasons that I just laid out were the reasons why the Colts felt comfortable enough to draft him on day three of the draft, and you know, brought him into this system to take a good hard look at him, and hopefully that he can continue to develop and on his own time work on that arm strength.
Yeah, that's right. What I thought. Go ahead there. Jim. No, I was just going to follow up with Matt's overall thoughts there, and I just think that Riley does fit within the Steichen mindset of a offensive coordinator and the plays that he likes to employ, and he does have some mobility that can keep a rush a little bit off guard.
No doubt.
And the best thing about a quarterback, and this goes back to the debate on Richardson as well, you have to have accuracy. You have to be able to throw the ball with a high percentage rate of completions, especially in the short to medium ranges in the NFL. If you cannot do that, you're not going to be an NFL quarterback. That's where I think Leonard, too, has a little bit of a, like you said, a projection forward, is that he does have accuracy. Now, whether he can develop the arm strength that you have discussed, that's a to be determined, but you got to think time and effort. And like you said, he's a go-getter. That will happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to, you know, you'd rather have all of those things and then, you know, not be able to, you know, light the fire of a guy's work ethic and his preparation and all of those things. He has all of that stuff. I mean, the great story of him coming from, he's from Fairhope, Alabama. And by the way, that is the same hometown as Philip Rivers. And so those two guys know each other incredibly well. We did a nice little story, you know, talking with Philip in the offseason. And of course, Philip had the 1 year with the Colts in 2020. So it was kind of, you know, really beneficial and fun to reconnect with Philip too. But we did a great story on those two guys and how they are working out. And, you know, Riley last year in his 1 year at Notre Dame, based on the rules, and you guys know more about the college rules than I do, but long story short is he just didn't have a whole lot of opportunities in the off season to get as acclimated as much as he wanted to with his skill players at Notre Dame and really the entire team in totality. So what does he do in the summer last year? This is going into, you know, the 2024 season. He brings as many guys as he can that are available down to Fairhope, Alabama to work out with him and Phillip Rivers. And they basically just have like their own little Notre Dame Fighting Irish passing academy for a week or so. And that was his way to like take it upon himself to, get to know the guys and understand what they can do within the playbook. And again, that's just the type of guy and leader that Ry Leonard is. And another great story that I heard kind of through the grapevine is when he shows up on campus at Notre Dame, he's making flashcards of all of his teammates, mm-hmm. all of his coaches. Not only that, it's like the support staff, all the trainers and the equipment people. And he's got flashcards and facial recognition. It's like, okay, here's Bob, here's Judy, here's Bruce, here's, you know, just, and that way when he walks into the building, he knows who these people are and he can kind of shake their hand, and it just builds the respect of everybody around him that he's taking it very seriously. And it's important to him to, you know, he's the new guy, but he wants to come in and do a really good job. And so it's been really fun to watch that in real time grow itself here with the Colts inside that locker room.
We've got the college football season kicking off this weekend. A ton of games. Some really good ones, Matt, and that starts and ends with Texas and Ohio State, man. Two top three teams, number one versus number three. Of course, the connection with Arch Manning starting for Texas. Obviously, the nephew of Eli and Peyton Manning, the son of, I said earlier, of Cooper. It's Cooper, not Cooper, but Cooper, if you've ever heard Peyton say it. I guess that's that Southern drawl add-on.
Louisiana accent.
Have you seen what's your thoughts on Arch Manning? And because none of us have really seen a lot of him. He played some last year, but he has taken a different path. He has bided his time, and we don't see that very often anymore.
Exactly. And it kind of makes me wonder too, and this is just an outsider's perspective on the college game, is it makes me wonder now that, you know, he is taking the time and the family and his support, and certainly him, has prioritized patience and let's make sure we stay in the right opportunity and the right system and the right, coaching staff, so that when we do get our time permanently, you know, we can come in and really shine. But we're also living too in the day and age of, you know, mega major money in NIL. It makes me wonder if he's not in this for at least one more year. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but it wouldn't shock me at all to see him stay in college for the duration and come out in the 2027 draft. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
Maybe it depends on how the Colts fare. Well, we've heard. I'm just kidding with that. Yeah. How wild would that be, though, for that to materialize in any way, fashion, or shape? But how crazy would that be to see that happen? That would be a first of sorts, I would think.
Oh man, I don't even want to entertain that hypothetical, right? We're a million years away from that happening, but it's such a different day and age right now in college football, and it affects the draft, it affects who's coming out, because I mean, just as early as, gosh, like 5 years ago, you had, I don't know what the number was, but you had probably 40 to 50% more juniors and guys who had eligibility left in college, you know, leaving early to go to the NFL. And now that number is way down. To what degree, I don't know, but I know it's
Are playing in bowl games now, Matt.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's, you know, that the regular season in college football is the greatest regular season, and the postseason, you know, now that we have the tournament, obviously things are different, but for a while there, the postseason, the bowl season was a major letdown. And I'm glad things are changing a little bit. You know, you've got 12 teams now in the college football playoff system. And again, just on a little bit of a tangent, I'm glad that they have changed their mind on the seeding process. I was always fine with the concept of, you know, if you're a Power Four, if you're a major conference team that feeds into the college football playoff bracket system, I was always okay with, you know, you getting an automatic berth. I was not okay with automatic buys. And so I was glad to see that get, you know, reversed to a degree, and kind of disappointing if you're an Indiana fan, because had the playoff system this year existed last year, I think Indiana would have hosted a playoff game in that first round. That would have made such a big difference. But, you know, you got it. You still have everybody 0-0 this year. You got a chance. The schedule for Indiana is significantly harder, and, you know, they're going to have to prove themselves in conference play. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, you've got Bill Belichick opening up his college coaching debut on Monday night, the only game on Monday night. Where appropriately, he has a Monday night football game. He's had plenty
of those.
That's
right. All eyes on Chapel Hill, for sure. Yeah, this is one of the greatest weekends, because we kind of recondition ourselves on how to go about our Saturday and how to plan around it, right? Because you got the noon window, and then the big boys at 3:30 typically. The night window, and then the great thing about, you know, I guess one of the good things about Big Ten expansion is you get to watch some major Power Four, Power Five college football in the late window too, right? When games start at like 10:30 and go all the way up to like 1 a.m. So it's not great for your social life, but if you're a football fan, it's pretty awesome.
I was just talking about that earlier. I think UCLA has a game that starts at 11 Eastern time.
And
11 p.m.
And it has Big Ten ramifications, so you watch,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, that's half the time on Saturdays. That's the only time I get to watch a game. It's on late.
Yeah, and as a total nerd, too, I mean, this is when the second TV comes out. I don't know how you guys are, but the second TV that's been collecting dust since March and March Madness that you store in the closet, you wheel it back out, and you get it back in place and you know, solidify for the next 6 months or so.
That's the beauty of YouTube TV.
Yeah, the quad box, right?
That's right. You got the quad box up there. You can get it all the different games.
One last thing. You're probably ahead
on a plane somewhere on Saturdays, because that's travel day in the NFL.
Yeah, that's what makes it tough. You know, like you guys were talking about Arch Manning, and candidly, you know, I don't get a chance to watch as much college football as I want to. So my typical routine is. And this is why you mentioned YouTube TV. I like that a lot, because you can just set it to record any and every game. So, you know, when I'm at home at night and I have a little bit of free time, I'll kind of skim through the games that I do want to go back and watch. But, you know, like a Tyler Warren, he's a perfect example, right? The Colts draft him in the first round, 14th overall. I didn't know who Tyler Warren was until about like week four of last year.
Yeah.
You know, he's like a one-man wrecking crew for Penn State, winning all these games, and they're lining him up at quarterback and receiver. And, you know, he's lining up one play at center and snapping it to the quarterback and then going out for a route and scoring a touchdown. Like that's the one drawback about this job, is that you kind of get tunnel focused on the NFL, and Saturday is, you know, you're catching up on life and you're doing things around the house and you're trying to be a dad and you're going to games and practices and then, or you're traveling for a game. I love college football, and I just wish I had more of an opportunity to watch it. But once the season is over, I'll go back and kind of refresh myself on who all of these guys are that a lot of, you know, mainstream sports fans have known who these big time major movers and shakers are in the college football realm for the last couple of months. And so that's when the draft prep really kind of kicks into gear. So that's the one drawback, is that, you know, college football happens at the same time in the NFL, and Sundays and weekly prep is obviously pretty busy.
Yeah. And it's hard to even for me, I don't get to see as many games other than if I have recorded them, which I do the same thing you do. And that's the only way I do.
Big Ten Network does this thing. You guys have seen it. The Big Ten games in 60 minutes, where they condense an entire game down to an hour. Like, that's my jam. Like, I don't want, you know, just give me the snaps of the football. Boom, 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 rapid fire. And that's it. That's an easy way to watch a game that you missed that you want to kind of catch up on.
That's
why YouTube also provides you the opportunity to catch up on things just through the key plays. I'm like, perfect.
There you go. Bam. Yeah.
No, that's why I've been lobbying for what the NFL does with the live broadcast, where they get the all 22, you can get off NFL.com. So that's how I watch most of the Colts games, through the coaches, video. I want the colleges to do that as well. It would be a perfect moneymaker to put back in the coffers of the each of schools for NIL money or however you want to look at it. I don't understand why they don't do it that way, because a lot of people and a lot of fans out there watch those videos that you can get through NFL.com of games.
It's crazy. 100%. Yep. 100%. I mean, we're all busy. We all have jobs and lives and, you know, our own deals. And so, yeah, anything you can do to still stay exposed to the game, but do it on your own time and do it quickly and efficiently. I think you're onto something there.
Matt Taylor, the voice of the Indianapolis Colts. Thank you, sir. Looking forward to hearing from you each week as the NFL season begins next week, week one in the NFL, the Colts hosting the Miami Dolphins. Thank you, my friend. Enjoy your weekend of college football and honeydew listing.
You got it, guys. Always appreciate being with you. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate you. Matt Taylor joining us. We've got more coming up here on Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Back with all that and more right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio, on this Thursday of week one of the college football season. And my favorite story I've seen to date on this upcoming season was Deion Sanders was being interviewed by, I don't know if it was a local station out in Boulder or what, but anyways, the one thing he said that he still can't get used to is a certain smell at the stadium in Colorado. And my first thought was, man, Ralphie must be coached close to the bench.
Yeah.
That was my first thought, but then Colorado sunk in and I'm like, it's that wafting smell of THC just bounding through the stadium. Entering his third season as coach there in Colorado, coming off of a 9-4 season. But he said the one thing he can't get used to is that. He said it just shocks him. The smell of weed in the second quarter surprised the heck out of me. Like every game, I'm like, dang.
It's like a concert.
He said it seems like it's light, like a light up quarter. So the second quarter must be light up quarter out there in Boulder.
Snoop Dogg has entered the stadium.
Snoop Dogg, he should sponsor the second quarter.
Yeah.
Welcome to Boulder, Colorado, in the second quarter, sponsored by Snoop Dogg.
He actually has a cannabis farm, if you can imagine that. I'm sure
he does. Tommy Chong, maybe they should get Cheech and Chong to
as well. That's right.
The third quarter, maybe. He said, so is this quarter by that y'all choose? He goes, I'm serious. It's a TV timeout. It never fails. And I'm like, wow, what's going on? Because I've never been high a day in my life. So that's kind of new to me. That's funny. I just find that hilarious.
Well, it's one of those legal things out there in Colorado.
Not just that. It's just how the world has changed. I'll be honest with you, it's dumbest thing in the world for marijuana to have ever been illegal anywhere. It's dumb.
Well, yeah, there's we can always have that debate on the pros and cons of its medicinal.
Well, not value. Even that, just comparing it to alcohol.
Oh, well, yeah, I get you. Yeah.
Not even a comparison there.
Well, you remember the days when alcohol wasn't even allowed to be served in stadium venues, and one of the biggest things that
ago.
Yeah, that's the one of the biggest things that have come along.
Great that you mentioned that, because it wasn't that long ago.
No,
we're like, they're gonna have beer sales at Memorial Stadium this year. What has that been like, within the last 5 years?
Yeah, I was gonna say 4 years ago, I think it was the first time they allowed it.
Now, there are no, I'm not gonna say you wouldn't smell marijuana at a non, legal state, but not like you are in a state like Colorado, where it is just ingrained out there, man.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's every street corner in Colorado is a dispensary all throughout the state. And I think 1 year when they first started out as selling it, they had money left in the coffers from what they had already given to the school corporations, because that's why they legalized it. So that money would go back to the educational aspect for the state. They actually sent rebate checks out to all the residents, and I think it was like $1,100. So they found value of that, helping to put money into the educational budget for the school systems, which I think, you know, you're getting a value out of it, so that the teachers don't have to pull money out of their own pocket for supplies and things of that nature. And then I think they even actually utilize it for this concept, repairing roads. Wow. What a most logical concept that here in Indiana, we don't even have that with what was supposed to happen with the lottery coming to town. Now they're talking about making all the interstates tolls, toll roads, charging you to drive on them.
don't even get me started. Don't even get me started. We're
got to talk about football.
That's right. Well, we'll be back tomorrow to do that again. Welcome to join us as well. We're going to have to make some picks tomorrow. And speaking of picks, do not forget, go to ESPN's fantasy tab, and you can get in on the ISB Pick'ems. I've got some cool stuff that we can give away
here. I'm getting mine ready to go. I've got my high school football game assignment for tomorrow night. It's going to be a good one up here. Center Grove and Carroll tomorrow night.
Two of the top teams
that have, you know, in the state of Indiana will be going at it tomorrow night up here. Coach Eric Moore, very, very legendary coach now in the state of Indiana. And so maybe I can jump on for a tad tomorrow and still do my prep, as I will be telling who did what right or wrong.
We're looking forward to it. And I got to check with the Greek, Jeffrey the Greek, man. Getting him back on as well. But we're back tomorrow to make our picks. You can go to the ESPN Fantasy tab, College Pick'ems. It's under ISB Radio. The password is Cignetti 2025. The Cignetti 2025 is one word. Coach, appreciate you as always.
You, sir. You too, sir. We will see you later.
Yes, sir. Big thanks to Matt Taylor. Most importantly, thanks to each and every one of you. We're back tomorrow to do this again and close out week one of the college football season. Looking forward to it. Until then, I'm Jim Coyle. I will see you on the radio.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more clips and team coverage of Indiana basketball, football, and more. You can also find full episodes and tons of other content on thehoosier.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio.